notes or something. But take your Bibles, look at John chapter 14, please. John 14. And let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 14. We'll begin reading the verse number 16. I'll read the first verse. You come in with me on the second. And we'll go back and forth that way. Down to verse number 26. Our text verse this morning will be the first verse, verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, my Father will love him, and will come and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Verse number 26 is also part of our text this morning. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. This morning I want to take a few minutes and preach from these scriptures and some others. A message entitled, The Believer's Advantage. The Believer's Advantage. Father, help us now today. Thank you, Lord, for our Sunday school hour, for the testimonies and the time that we had in Sunday school. Thank you, Father, for this morning and the song service and the songs that were chosen. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for just a church, Lord, like this we can come to and be a part of. And God, I pray that you would help us this morning. Father, if it wasn't for you, this would be another just a country club, a social outing. But Lord, today you're the reason why we're here. We ask you today for your great help. Speak to hearts. May your will be accomplished for this place with your presence and your power. Father, use the invitation time to draw people close to you. May folks today make the right choices. May folks say, allow the Spirit of God to move in their life and their heart. And we'll thank you now for all that's been done and will be done. This we pray in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me do some business before we get in the message. I'm going to need one, two, three, four folks to read scripture this morning. And so I need somebody to find Acts 1:8 and have that ready when I get there. Who wants to do that? Acts 1:8. Who's got that verse? Okay. Who said that? I'll do it. Matt? Okay. Romans 14:17. Got that one, Gary? Romans 14:17. Romans 5:5. Pat? Romans 15:13. Josh? All right. Those. So you guys be ready when I get there. I'll have you read those verses out loudly. We come to the book of John chapter 14, and I want to today, I preached twice in a row about the grace of God, and I almost preached again this morning, and the Lord moved a different direction. One of our young ladies in our school said, preacher, do you realize you preached that twice? And I said, yeah, I realized that. And I did it for a purpose. And my heart was to preach about four times right in a row. I was going to preach it for a month of Sundays. And the Lord just moved me a different direction this morning. But I do believe that the grace of God is so vital, needful in our life, and that we have to engage the grace of God. But then God also brought to my attention that he's also given us an advantage. He's given us a comforter. And that's what I want to talk to you about, the comforter that is a real person who's really in your life for real. And I want to talk about that this morning. Jesus now, in John chapter 14, a great passage of scripture, Jesus Christ has been for 3.5 years with his disciples. Now, again, Jesus Christ had many people around him at times. Crowds would flock to him to be healed or to be fed. But when it came down right down to it, there was only a small handful of people that really chose and walked by faith with Christ. And for 3.5 years, Christ has been with his disciples. He has been their comforter. He has been their helper. He has been their teacher. And he has been their friend. And he now is beginning to tell them in John 14, verse number 1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Then he tells us those great verses about in his Father's house are many mansions. If we're not so, I've told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. This verse, which was to give them comfort, troubled them some. Because now they're being taught that Christ, who had been their comforter, their helper, their teacher, their guide, their friend, their Messiah, now he is going to leave them. He has come to serve a purpose. He has come to purchase our redemption upon Calvary, to die for the sins of mankind. And then he was going to be placed in a tomb and then the third day resurrected. And he said, now, when that happens, I'm going to ascend to my Father. And the purpose is I'm going to prepare for you a place, that where I am, there you may be also. And I'm going to come again one day and receive you. And so this left the disciples somewhat a little bit troubled. But what a blessing to realize that Jesus Christ, his purpose to leave was to prepare a place, that where he is, there one day we may be also. And he's come. By the way, he's coming again. Amen. Soon he's coming again. And I thought, you know, wouldn't it have been great to have been part of that church family in that day? In that day, to be able to walk with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years, to see the miracles that he accomplished, to be fed by him, to be taught by him, to watch him pray, to have the Last Supper with him, to see him walk on water and calm the wind and waves. It would have been great. And I, oftentimes, as I think that, I wonder, would I have been one of his disciples that would have trusted him? Or would I have been a Pharisee? Would I have been a mocker? Would I have been a disbeliever? And this morning, I want to encourage you that, by the way, you know, I think about how great it would have been to be part of that church family. And the Lord said this, well, if you don't appreciate the one you have, you wouldn't appreciate that one either. If you don't appreciate what the family you have right now, you wouldn't appreciate the one back almost 2,000 years ago. So he's preparing his disciples for his departure. Then he promises them another comfort. We see that verse number 16 and 17. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you, even the Spirit of truth. We find that he's promised them another comforter. The comforter, who is that? We find verse number 26, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. The Comforter is the Holy Ghost. And the Comforter now, he has been promised by Jesus Christ. And the Comforter is the Father's answer to the Son's prayer. Verse number 16 says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter. The Holy Ghost is an answer to the prayer of Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I'm going to pray to my Father in heaven to send you another, a Comforter. And so the Holy Ghost is the answer of the Father to the Son's prayer. The Holy Ghost is not second string because Christ is gone. Sometimes we might think that. Well, it would have been great to have been with Jesus Christ, and now we get the Holy Ghost. He's not second string, by the way. He is God, as God is God, and as Christ is God, the Holy Ghost is God. And he's been given unto us as an answer to prayer, and he's not second string. We're still in the big leagues, boys. As exciting as it was for the disciples to be with Jesus Christ, so it is with the believer to be with the Holy Ghost. We fall behind in no small matter or no small gift. Just as exciting as it was for the disciples to walk for 3.5 years with Jesus Christ, with them day by day, we have the Holy Spirit of God in our lives to walk with us day by day. And it's just as exciting as it would have been in the days of Christ. The Holy Ghost is the answer, the Father's answer to the Son's prayer. The Holy Ghost was given to us by the Father. Verse number 16 says, and he shall give you another comforter. So it was given to us by the Father, and we find that it also the Holy Ghost was sent by the Father. So the Holy Ghost is the Father's gift to the answer to prayer, but he was sent on a mission from the Father. Verse number 17 says, the Father will send him in my name. We also read in John 15:26 that the Holy Ghost is sent by the Son. It says, John 15:26 says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. So we find again this morning that Jesus Christ is preparing his disciples for his departure, and they thought, my Lord, we're going to be left alone. We'll have to face life by ourselves. Jesus Christ, who's been our comforter, our teacher, our helper, our friend, now he's going to leave us, and what are we going to do by ourselves? And Christ said, you're not going to be alone. But I am going to pray to my Father, and he'll send you another comforter. He'll send you another helper, another advocate, another friend. And so he was given by the Father and sent by the Father, and he was sent by the Son, and he is no second string player. In fact, the believer is, by the way, this same promise is the same promise that you and I can claim today as well. We are not alone, the Scripture says, but the Holy Ghost also is our comforter. The believer is at no less advantage with the Holy Ghost than the disciples were with Jesus Christ. Whatever the disciples were to accomplish with Jesus Christ, the believer has been promised to do greater with the Holy Ghost. Look at John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Now watch this. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. The introduction this morning is this, that we have no less advantage as believers in 2019 than the believers did when Christ walked this earth. In fact, the Bible says that we have a greater advantage. Jesus Christ said, because I'm going to go to my Father, and in my Father's house, I'm going to prepare for you a place. I'm going to be your mediator. I'm going to be your advocate. I'm going to pray for you. But I'm also going to send you the comforter. And because of that, because I'm on my throne, and because I am praying for you, and because I am going to send you a comforter, you'll do greater works than that which was written. Greater works than these. And by the way, we have also not only the Holy Ghost, but the Bible says that the Word of God is a more sure word of prophecy that we have today. So the believer today, with the Holy Ghost of God and His Word, we are under no advantage. In fact, we have an advantage over many that before that come before us because of the Comforter, because of the Word of God. Now the Holy Ghost has been promised to us, and the Holy Ghost now dwells in the believer. Look at verse number 17. It says, and I will pray the Father, verse number 16, verse number 17, that's where I wanted to go. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I won't forsake a time that they turn there, but Romans 8, verses 8 through 11 speaks about the Spirit of God dwelling in the believer. So let me just kind of paraphrase for this morning. For a second time, we'll get to the main message. When you were without Christ, you had no comforter, no Holy Spirit of God. You were by all means alone, without hope. But God used His Spirit. As the Bible said, God used His Spirit to convict the world of sin. And so as you and I live without Christ Jesus, the Spirit of God was working in our life, trying to woo us to the Father, convicting us of our sin, convicting us of our flesh. And so when you respond to the Spirit, by the way, without that, no man could be saved. What draws us to God? Not our fleshly nature. What draws us to God is the Spirit of God wooing us. And so when we got saved, when you realized, hey, I'm a sinner, if I die without Christ, I'd go to hell because of all my sins, and you receive Christ as your Savior, that Comforter, that Spirit of God that was wooing you now dwells within you and with you, according to the book of Romans. And so every born-again believer, the Spirit of God dwells in. So, well, I thought I had to pray through to get the Spirit of God. No. No, there's no praying through. There's no second special anointing. When you got born again, you got the Spirit of God in you and with you. Now, the Holy Spirit of God, not only is He with you, but look at verse number 16 at the very end. That He may abide with you forever. You know, we as a church family can't be together all the time, and I'm glad for that. You know, one of the hardest things that we have in our church is a school. And I'm glad for our school, but the school puts many of us together every day. And so on Sunday, most of you are on your best behavior because you don't want me to preach anything that you're living. So like, let's fool the pastor and be on our best behavior. But when you come to school every day, guess what? You see me on my best behavior and on my worst. And I see you on your best behavior and some days your bad days. And sometimes Christians just need a little break from each other. Amen. Right? hopefully we're never going to come to a place where my wife and I take separate vacations. Where she says, I need a break from you. Not from work or anything else, but from you. And so we can't be always together. There are times in my life when I've needed extra encouragement. And it's because of the way life is, there's not been anybody there. You've been there. There are times perhaps in that you might have a bad day or a day where you're a little discouraged. Like, man, I wish somebody would call me. And the phone never rings. You might say, I wish somebody would just stop by and seat me. Maybe bring me by a Big Mac and just eat with me. And nobody ever knocks on your door. You know, that's just life. That's life. But so there's no promise that anywhere in the Bible where the Bible says a Christian will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Because we, at best, are still human. We still have this old flesh. But my Bible says that you and I, we got born again, that we have a comforter that dwells within us. You see, the Old Testament saints couldn't claim that. Abraham couldn't say the Spirit of God dwells in me. David couldn't say the Spirit of God dwells in me. Samson couldn't say the Spirit of God dwells in me. Samuel couldn't say that. But you and I today, as New Testament believers, children of God, can say the Spirit of God, the Comforter dwells within my heart. Lives the Comforter. The Spirit of God lives within me and He's with me. For how long? Forever. Forever. There's not one day where I wake up without a Comforter. There's not one day I lay my head on the pillow without a comforter. No matter what trial I go through, what heartache I go through, how my day may have been or may not have been the way I wanted to, no matter what I go through, the comforter is within me and with me forever. I'm not comfortless. And He's not second string. He's not because Christ couldn't be here. He's first string. He's my helper and my comforter. I want you to notice today, that's the introduction. Notice with me today, two things about the Holy Spirit. I want you to notice today with me the Holy Ghost contribution. Verse number 16, we find that it says, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another comforter. Now again, he's trying to leave the fact that He's leaving. He said, listen, you're not going to be left alone, but you're going to be given a comforter. He is called in the Bible the comforter. We use the word advocate. And the word really means this, that the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, has been called by God and sent by God to come alongside of us to help us. When you go soul winning, we go in pairs. We don't all the times go alone because pairs, and you have someone comes alongside you and helps you and encourages you and protects you, by the way. Oftentimes, if you, in law enforcement, you wait for backup before you maybe enter into a situation. Somebody is called to come alongside of you. In the military, there's no man left behind. You don't go alone. You go with somebody. And the Spirit of God is the same. He has been called by God and sent by God to come alongside of us to help us. To be our advocate, to be our assistant, to be our comforter, to be our guide, to be our helper. Now, does not come unequipped. This Holy Spirit, He comes loaded for bear, if you will. He comes with some great contributions. Who's got Acts 1:8? Acts 1:8. Brother Matt, read that. So the Holy Spirit of God, first of all, his contribution, this, he comes with power. He comes with power. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, the Bible says this. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they all were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Christ said this, I'm not going to leave you without a comforter. I'm going to send a comforter to with you and to be with you to help you. And when he comes, the Bible says, he comes not struggling. He doesn't come weak. He comes with great power. That's his contribution, to give the believer power to serve God. And when the disciples in the book of Acts 4 were filled with the Holy Ghost, they spake the word of God with boldness and power. That wasn't them speaking. It wasn't their power. It was the Holy Ghost of God speaking through them. And so we find here that the Holy Ghost comes with power. The Holy Ghost also comes with joy. Romans 14, 17. You got that, Brother Gary? So the kingdom of God comes with righteousness and peace and joy. In Acts 13, 52, the Bible says this about the Holy Ghost. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. You see, this Christian life that we live is just not some dreadful thing that we have to go through every day. Well, you know, I have no choice and I don't want to go to hell, so I have to be a Christian. No, in the Christian life, you have a comfort that comes to help you and guide you and teach you along the way. And he fills you with power to overcome sin, power to live right, power to preach the gospel. But also there's joy. He comes with joy, great joy. Well, the disciples, when they were persecuted, left with rejoicing and joy. Hey, we're worthy. We're worthy to be persecuted for the cause of Christ. They had joy in their life. Where does that come from? Oh, that comes from the Holy Ghost living inside, being your comforter. The Holy Spirit of God comes with love. Who has Romans 5, 5? Brother Pat? Think about that. How do these Old Testament saints and how do these New Testament saints, how do they love God, love people, and love the ministry? That was a benefit, a contribution of the Holy Ghost. You know, the Bible says that before we got saved that we were living in hatred and hating one another. That describes people to a T. Malice and hatred and guile and bitterness and anger. But when the Holy Ghost has free reign in your life, he gives you power and joy and love. Charity. Boy, today, if ever was needed a time of love, it's today. Among God's own people, to love God's people, to love God. And sometimes we say, oh, it's not in me to do that. I don't have the power to do that. I don't have the ability to do that. You don't have to. You have to just let the comforter help you. Not only does he come with love, but he also comes with hope. Who's got Romans 15, 13? Josh, go ahead. The Holy Spirit of God gives hope. That's his contribution. He says, he's going to give me a comforter. Well, what's he got for me? That's what the first thing, you know. Hey, if somebody's going to be your comforter, what's his contribution? What are you going to comfort them with? God sent him equipped. In fact, he is God. And he comes to be our comforter. He comes to be our guide, our helper, our teacher. He is sent by God. He comes alongside of us and he comes with power. Hey, preacher, I'm a little bit shy and timid about witnessing. Hey, just step out and he'll give you the power to preach the word boldly. Man, if the world can live boldly in their sin, live boldly in their foolishness, and live boldly in their wickedness, and you and I can live boldly for Christ. If the sodomites can shout for their sin and their rights, and if the abortion crowd can shout for their rights to murder babies and slaughter babies, surely Christians can live boldly with power by the Spirit of God. To preach the gospel, to be a witness for Christ. We can have joy that comes with the Holy Ghost. He fills with joy, he fills with love, and with hope, but he also gives you gifts. Turn with me to hold a marker in First and John. We'll come back to the book of John here in a moment. But I want you all to see 1 Corinthians 12. First Corinthians chapter 12, and watch what the scripture says here as well. Verse number 7, I want you to notice the scripture. Verse number 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The Spirit of God is your comforter, and He says, I've given Him that every one of you may profit. This morning, if you say, I'm not profiting, preacher, the Spirit of God is not filling His job. He's not the one that's not done His job. All right? So the Spirit of God is given to us that we may be profit. Look what the scripture says, verse number 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divine diverse gifts of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these that worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. We find here the Spirit of God, He comes with some contributions to comfort us. He comes and He gives us power to preach the Word of God. Power to be a testimony, power to be soul winners, power to preach God's Word, to plant and sow the Word of God. Not to be ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let us today in 2019 never be ashamed of being a Christian because of the Holy Ghost. It gives us power. He gives us joy. What greater joy there is but to serve God, to walk with Him day by day and to love Him and to see His blessings in our life and to realize that one day, hey, He's coming again. He gives us love and hope. Thank God for the Spirit of God's hope that He gives us. That when we are defeated or that we are discouraged, He says that one day you'll see Jesus Christ face to face. He points to heaven and says, hey, He's preparing a place for you. He gives us hope, but He also gives us gifts. God says, all right, you live within them and dwell within them and give them gifts as you will. And so He gives you gifts to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to contribute yourself to the local assembly. Today you have gifts. Where do they come from? The Holy Spirit of God. What are they for? To benefit the body of Christ. See, this morning the Spirit of God is able to profit. Every man is able to profit from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit of God is working in you for the will of God to be completed in your life. And the Holy Spirit of God comes in with gifts that you may be able to help and be a blessing to the entire body of Christ, the church. Today, you're not just a pew warmer. You're not just here for no reason. The Spirit of God, He has equipped you and given you gifts that you may help the entire body of Christ. Hey, wake up today and use your gift. Not just for yourself, but for the body of Christ. God wants to be a comforter to you, so you may be a comfort to somebody else. Our job is to edify the body of Christ. And how can we do that? Hey, the Comforter has come. And we should do greater works than the Lord did because of the Comforter. Watch with me now, not just the Holy Ghost contribution, but the Holy Ghost consolation. The Holy Spirit of God is the Comforter given by the Father and sent by the Son. He is, if you will, my helper. He's my helper. In Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, we have these well-known verses of scriptures that I think we should all memorize and keep close to us. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Don't let you live your life with, I wish I had, I wish I did, I wish whatever. It says, and be content with such things as ye have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Oh, this day, how contrary that we live to that very verse. We are afraid what the world says about us, the things about us. We fear what man may say or do. But the Lord says here, listen, live your life for Christ. Don't live longing for the world. Be content with Christ has placed you and put you. Be content with His gifts and His contributions because you can boldly say the Lord is, He's my helper. He's my advocate. He's my comforter. Whenever I need help, He's there. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I'm able to live godly content because the Spirit of God, He is my helper. He runs to my aid when I'm in need. with the Spirit of God with me and in me, I never have to fear what man shall do unto me. What if they slay you? The comfort takes me, the presence of God. What if they curse you and deny you and mock you and betray you? Hey, I'm okay. The Comforter has come. He's with me and in me. He's my helper. It's a shame when the actions of men influence the believer more than the comfort of the Holy Ghost. It's a shame when others do determine my work for God more than the Holy Ghost, what He's doing within me and for me. It's a shame when the actions of man will determine my church attendance, my faithfulness more than leading of the Holy Ghost. It's a shame that the world has more influence upon my Christianity than the Holy Ghost of God does. He's my helper. Church, He's your helper. In my mind, you know, I thought I'm going to preach this. The folks are going to run the pews and shout amen, and maybe you are that way inside. I hope that you're getting this morning, not for my sake, but for your sake. That you are not alone in this life. That God has sent you a comforter. He's very God Himself. He's not second string. You have an advantage over the world. You have an advantage over the Old Testament saints because you and I have a comforter, the Holy Spirit of God within us. He's our helper. Amen. Not one of us can say, I can't serve God. It's beyond me. Because you have a great help in your life. You can point to where the preacher has failed you. And I have to hang my head in shame and say, yes, that's me. You can point to where our church might have failed you. We have to hang our head in shame and say, yes, you're right. We have failed that. You can point to the people around you and point out their sins and their failures and their faults and when they might let you down. We will say, yes, that's true. But the Spirit of God has never one time let you down. Never one time left you alone. Never one time not been your helper. Hey, He's your helper. Amen. Now and forever. And you can walk with Him and be victorious in Christian life. Now, notice this with to me as consolation. According to the scriptures, verse 26 of John, he said that he would teach me. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, when the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things. Now, I won't turn here for a second time this morning, but if you write down this verse, 1 Corinthians 2:9-14. That verse basically says this, the unsaved man does not understand the things of God. You know, when an unsaved man says this, I can't understand the Bible, I'm like, no, you can't. Well, the English is too hard for me. No, the English is perfect. The Word of God is spiritual. You see, this unsaved generation has figured that out, and so they come up with these translations, these perversions, to make things simpler. They don't do it to help people, they do it to put money in their pocket. So the Word of God is a Bible, is a spiritual book that cannot be understood by the unsaved man. So the unsaved man says, I don't understand this. You're right, you don't understand because you have no helper to teach you. Remember when God sent Philip, the evangelist, to the Ethiopian eunuch. And he was riding along there in the chariot and reading the book of Isaiah 53. And Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch said, how can I accept some man should guide me? Philip then preached to him Jesus and he got born again. Hey, what a great example, what a great picture. How can you and I understand the Word of God lest some man should guide us? And the Father said this, I'm going to send you a comforter to guide you and teach you all things. What's the Holy Spirit of God use to teach us? The book. The book. Oh, there's no wonder today Christians today live in defeat when they neglect the book and the Spirit of God. Man, you have committed spiritual suicide when you neglect the book and the Spirit of God in your life. When you quench Him, when you grieve Him, when you resist Him, He wants to take the Word of God in your life and use it to teach you all things. And so what a blessing when you say, hey, I've learned some things today. The Spirit of God taught me some things today. But you can't neglect the book. You can't neglect the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2 says that the Word of God contains things for the believer that the eye hath not seen nor ear hath heard. Think about that. There's things in the Word of God that eyes have not seen nor ears have heard, but the Spirit of God reveals them to you in your private time. In your daily time of prayer and Bible reading, He said, there it is, that's for you. He teaches you all things. We find then, And by the way, when you need help, the Holy Ghost uses God's word to help you. Christian, today I know that I know life. This would say some people say, well, you're a preacher, you don't understand. Listen, I know life. I don't live in a cocoon. I don't live in a bomb bunker. I don't live in a fallout shelter. I don't live somewhere where there's not real life. I live where real life happens every day. And the Spirit of God uses His Word to help us, encourage us. Not only that, we find the Holy Ghost will not only teach us, but God says He'll remind us. Verse 26 says, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Look over the book of Acts chapter 11, please. Hang on, I'm coming down the pike here. I'm getting ready to land the ship here. Follow with me. In Acts chapter number 11, we read verse number 15. Watch Peter's testimony. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. So Peter gave his testimony while the Holy Spirit of God fell upon the Gentiles. Verse number 16 says this, then remembered I the word of the Lord. And that He said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Peter said by his own words, then I remembered the word of the Lord. Well, who reminded him of that? The Holy Ghost. As he began to see the work of God in the Gentiles' life, and he was kind of balking against it, wondering, how can this be? The Holy Ghost said, Peter, remember what Jesus said. Remember what Jesus did. Peter said, I remember. Hey, folks, what a blessing to have the comforter in our life who reminds us of the Word of God. And that's why we have memorization in our school. Memorize these big, long passages of scriptures, not just to put our kids to work, but so that one day in life, when life happens, the Spirit of God can say, can you remember? I'll remember that verse. I remember what James says. I remember what the book of 1 Peter. I remember those verses. I remember God's Word. And I remember God's work in my life. Who does that? The Spirit of God does that in our life. Hey, He says, remember when you got born again. Remember when you were lost in your sins and you're dying to go into hell and your life was miserable and falling apart. The Spirit of God came and convicted you and you got born again. Remember that weight that fell off, the burden of sin that fell off your back? How free you felt, how clean you felt. He reminds us of when our young people got saved. He reminds us of when the Spirit of God fell on our church, at our meetings, and what He has done for us. He reminds us of His promises. That's His work. Never come to a place, Christian, where you fail to remember. Don't resist Him, but let Him bring to your mind. See, you know why we don't want to remember? Because remembering makes us act right. We forget where we came from. We forget what He's done for us to justify our current state of being unspiritual. Now, lastly, He says this. The Holy Ghost, what is His consolation? He'll teach me. Oh, boy, I don't know about you, but there are times in my study I just get happy. I just get happy about, boy, I read the Word of God and something pops out. And I'm like, that's God, that's what I needed today. He reminds me of His work and of His Word. But in John 15, 26, the Bible says this. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you, even the Father, from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. What's His consolation? He'll teach me. Christian, today I want to encourage you. You don't need to know Greek. You don't have to go to college to learn about Christ, to learn His Word. Can you just get in there and say, God, teach me something today. God, you know, sometimes what's motivating me is sometimes you'll hear preachers say, you know, I was reading this verse and God spoke to me and I thought, you know what, I want God to speak to my heart too. I don't want to just read the Bible and have it just a blank book to me. And leave not changed. And so I said, God, please, today, as I read the Bible, speak to me, God. Get a hold of my heart. Enlighten me, God. Teach me, God. Something for me today. I like in the midst of hard times, He reminds me of what I've read and of His own work. Then He says this, that He'll testify of me. The Holy Spirit's sweet consolation is to glorify Jesus Christ to me. He says in John 15, 26 that He'll testify of me. The Spirit of God does not testify of any man or institution. He's not here to promote a preacher to my life, in my life or institution. He's here. He comes to my life. He's in my life forever to testify of Jesus Christ. We often make Christianity about a man. I remember when I grew up, the big, you know, and I'm not here to criticize, I'm not here to judge anybody, but boy, I remember growing up, you know, the big name Jack Hiles. He's the man of God of today, and he's God's Noah of today. He's God's Moses of today, and everything's about Jack Hiles. I went off to Hiles College because that was a place to go, you know, to get God's anointed upon your life. If you go to get anointed, you know, by God, maybe Jack Hiles will touch you. He somehow bless you. And so I went there and I realized, all of a sudden, I didn't realize that, I'll be honest, when I went to college, I didn't know there was different kind of Baptist. I just a simple farm kid. I thought we were all the same. And I thought we all loved each other. You know, I just thought, hey man, you're a Christian, I'm a Christian, we all love each other. And so I got there and I realized there was this big controversy at Hammond, Indiana, and they were passing out these pins that said 100% Hiles. Wear them. You gotta wear these pins. 100% Hiles. And so I said, I'm not wearing a pin. I'm not gonna do that. I'm not 100% Hiles. I'm not 100% me. People were like, what? You're not for Dr. Hiles? I'm for Jesus. Give me a pin. And when I said that, they said, oh, you're one of those Pharisees. For Jesus. Well, the Spirit of God, He uses men and women, but He promotes Jesus. He promotes Jesus. That's what His job is to do. And that's our comfort. Let me tell you something. If the Spirit of God whispered in your ear, in your heartache, Ed Mast, what would your response be? What? What? Who? Pastor who? Yeah, I know him. He's like me, flesh and blood. But in your hard times, in your difficult times, when you're heartbroken, when you're in need, He whispers in your ear, Jesus!
Amen.
Jesus! He testifies of Jesus. And how can you and I live a bitter life, an angry life, when Jesus Christ is being whispered in our ear? When He testifies of Him, Jesus died for you. He became your sin, that you might be made His righteousness. He's preparing a place for you that one day where He is, there you may be also. It's about Jesus.
Yes,
and I can face another day. I can face tomorrow. I can face a battle because of Jesus. When you start looking at man, it is easy to see the faults and failures of others. It's easy to justify your anger and your bitterness. But when you begin to listen to the Holy Spirit of God, glorify Jesus, He becomes then our focus and our reason and our purpose. I don't have a school here just because of your kids. If that was the only reason, I'd close it tomorrow. Or my kids, by the way. We have a school here because of Jesus. In our school, we don't want folks to, you know, when I was at college, and this is something I didn't agree with either, I was kind of banned for. You know, in college they teach all the girls to clap and hoot and holler for men. Now I'm not opposed, if you're my wife, which is only one of you in this room, to clap and hoop and holler for me. Man, I you know, cheer my ego on if you want to. Glad to be a blessing. I might take a shopping once a year. But they had all these women would run around the college and hoop and holler for these men. And then once a month, Dr. Hiles would come in on a Saturday night. They'd have girls' night with just him and all these college girls in their pajamas chasing him around the auditorium and sitting on his lap and giving him gifts and him giving them candy and gifts. And I just thought, that's weird. That's weird. And here's what the whole thing it does. And you can have your own opinion whether you liked it or not. I didn't send my kids there for a reason. But that puts our, listen, I believe in honoring and respecting a man. I believe that. But I don't believe in worshiping anybody.
Right.
What happens is our focus is upon men. But Dr. Hiles, whether he was a great man or not, that's up to God to decide. He was still a man. And the Spirit of God never, ever whispers in your ear, Dr. Hiles, Billy Sunday, Tony Hudson. Now, I guess I'm not taking away from what these men have accomplished for God, but He always whispers in our ear, Jesus. And that I want, and our school is, we don't teach our girls to clap for Pastor Mast. We teach our girls to, you don't teach our girls, no, if you want to cook for him, that's fine. But we want our kids to cheer Jesus, to worship Jesus. Well, listen, I want our church, and I'm kind of rambling here, but follow along with me a little bit, there's for a reason. I want our church to love preachers. and love missionaries. When preachers come, to respect and honor them, and we have love offerings, give good to them. Give good to missionaries and provide for them. But don't worship them. They're not Jesus. They're living for Jesus. They want you to live for Jesus. Any preacher worth its salt, any preacher that's God called, wants you to worship Christ and not a man.
Right.
So the Holy Ghost doesn't testify of me or of anybody or a deacon or of any preacher. He testifies of Jesus because of Jesus. I can still live right. I can live right. I can act right. I can be a preacher. I can serve Him faithfully because of Jesus. I can be the right husband. You can be the right wife. You can be the right teenager because of Jesus. Oftentimes, the reason some of you are depressed and angry and frustrated is because you have watched men too long. You've worshipped them. You've elevated them too high. You made them your God when Christ should have been your God. So when men fall, you still say, "Hey, it's all about Jesus." You don't lose your footing. You don't lose your standing. Now watch this. Look at verse 127 of chapter 15. "And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." You know how you can tell when somebody's spirit filled and been helped? Because when I am helped, then I bear witness. Now watch what he's saying here. He's saying the comfort's going to come. I'm going to send him from the Father, and he's going to bear witness of me to you. They said this, "Then he shall also bear witness of me." Christian today, there's something, you can tell who you've been with by what you talk about. There are many Christians today who think that that DC and Marvel fill them. They know more about Aquaman and Spider-Man and Shazam and Batman than they knew about Jesus. They speak more about jobs and money and things of this life than they do about Jesus. You see, what fills you, you'll bear witness of. And the Spirit of God fills you and helps you, you'll bear witness of Him. Not only you tell folks a great testimony, but you'll tell the lost about Christ. Can I say that today, Christian, today, don't neglect your advantage. Listen to these verses. Acts 7:51. "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." 1 Thessalonians 5:19, "Quench not the Spirit." Ephesians 4:30 says, "And grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption." Christian, today, don't neglect your advantage. You have a great advantage. You're the Holy Ghost. And so with the Spirit of God, run your race. The Spirit of God doesn't leave you in bed, by the way. He uses grace to get you up and going. And with grace and the Spirit of God's help, you can run your race with patience. With the Spirit of God and grace, you can run your race. You can press toward the mark. Get up, Christian, and run. Get up and press toward the mark. Serve Him. How can I? Because you have a comforter. Oh, spread the tidings round. Wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound, let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter has come. The long, long night is past, the morning breaks out at last, and hush the dreadful and wail and fury of the blast. As over the golden hills the day advances fast, the Comforter has come. Lo, the great King of Kings, with healing in His wings, to every captive soul a full deliverance brings. And through the vacant cells the song of triumph rings, the Comforter has come. O boundless love divine, how shall this tongue of mine to wandering mortals tell the matchless grace divine? That I, a child of sin, should in His image shine, the Comforter has come. Sing till the echoes fly above the vaulted sky, and all the saints to all below reply in strains of endless love, the song that never will die, the Comforter has come. Christian, today you have a great advantage. It's called the Spirit of God. He's not second string. He's first string. And you and I can live faithfully and victoriously because of the book, because of the Spirit of God, because of God's grace. Run. Serve Him. Walk with Him. Press for the mark. Get out of bed. Get back to church. Witness. These are all things. Ladies, listen, love your husband, love your wife. Children, obey your parents, honor them. Do it. No, the Spirit of God makes it possible. He's our comforter. Father, today we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for your great word.